I was shopping in Canmore and walked into a kind of a sporting goods store and ran into this young lady who was working the floor and somewhere was looking at different things, and I saw this kind of mat that I hadn't seen before. And so I just kind of, in our chatting and looking at stuff, I asked her, "What is this mat?" And she said, "Well, it is a meditation mat." Oh, they have special mats for meditation now. And so she goes, "Do you meditate?" Oh, I said, "Absolutely." And she goes, "Oh, when I meditate," she goes, "I tell you, I go out into the beautiful outdoors. I will spread this mat somewhere amongst the trees with just the mountains in the background." I'm actually cutting short a long conversation. So she goes, "And I just meditate." She goes, "It's amazing. Just to begin to calm yourself and center yourself." She goes, "Oh, I don't think I could make it without meditation." And she goes, "So you meditate?" I said, "Yeah, but I don't do the kind of meditation that you do." She goes, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, when you get up off your mat and you go back to work," I said, "all your cares come back." It reminds me of one time going, and she goes, "Well, I'll tell the story first." She goes, "Yeah." I said, "So that brief time of meditation that you get," I said, "is a wonderful brief hiatus away from your stress-filled life. But when you leave your meditation mat and your meditation practice and you go back into your job, your marriage, motherhood, whatever it is, student, you walk right back into this stressful, anxious-filled life." She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "Actually," said, "the kind of meditation I do," I says, "it actually stays." What do you mean? I said, "When I meditate, I use an old Hebrew type of meditation that," I said, "when you meditate," I said, "you don't just center yourself on nothingness and try to empty your mind. Instead, you meditate on a concept, and this concept stays with you." And I'm speaking so as spirit contemporary as I can without touching the Bible. You understand where I'm going here? And I said, "And so when I'm meditating, I said, when I get up and leave, I said, this incredible strength, power, peace, joy that people just get while they're meditating, I'm able to hang on to it." I said, "for 24 hours and sometimes for days." "Oh my." She said, "Well, I want to hear more about that." And so I began to share with her why my relationship with God is so powerful and why meditating is so important. I had lunch the other day. Usually when I say the other day, I got to be careful. A while ago, with a gentleman who was reading the column in the Calgary Sun. It was a leadership column, and he loved the leadership teaching, so he asked if he could get together for lunch, and I said yes. And before we met at the table, met at the restaurant, and he looks at me and says, I just love your column. I read it all the time. He says, but he's going to just ask you a question before we jump into our conversation today. I'm looking forward to our time. I said, yes. He says, do you speak in tongues? And I looked at him and I said, no. I said, not like you've seen or been told. I said, but do you know how in some religions, Tibetan monks, for example, can meditate, lower heart rate, blood pressure, proven that they can lower blood pressure and heart rate so low that they can almost stay buried with very little oxygen for quite a while. They can be in a stream that is frozen, maintain body temperature. Yes, yes, I've read about that, that they can meditate and control their bodies. I said, yes. I said, the Christians have a meditation. Now, this meditation not only brings incredible health and healing and control over the body, but I says it accesses the spirit world and a kind of peace and a level of joy that is untouchable. I said, but, and I just started talking like this, and he goes, wow, well, I'd like to have that. So I moved him from to where, and that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about some things that maybe you've seen and misunderstood. Maybe you've been a part of it and it's been taught wrong. Maybe you have been a part of the Pentecostal experience of being Spirit-filled and seeing it used wrong, stupid, weird, whoever, whatever. Let's just dive into this today, and let me talk about something that is very precious to me, something that I practice every day. The only way I would be able to run multiple organizations that all need millions of dollars per organization, hundreds of staff, thousands of volunteers, as well as dealing with many things like television around the world in multiple languages. People just look at me and go like, how do you do it? What's your secret? I don't have a system that does it. Now, we incorporate incredible business systems and structures. We use a business matrix. I could go on all the business side. But you can have all of that set up and never be able to walk in a place of joy and peace. Without calling anybody down, let me explain this. A lot of the meditation of the world today is so, what's the word I'm looking for? Wimpy. I'll give you an example. And I don't mean to pick on any religion, so I'll just use the word monk, etc., or priest. There are many different kinds of religions that will look incredible when you meet them as they wear their long dress and they walk through the streets. Their walk is controlled. There's this peaceful look on their face. And when they speak to you, it's always in a controlled way of, hey, how are you? Oh, man, I'd like to have that. Now, let me tell you, that person only gets that kind of peace by living alone, not married or with kids. That person only maintains that kind of peace by living in an island by themselves or with other monks living by themselves in rooms who have vows of silence. Or they are alone living in a cave apart from all of the human race where they can find this peace, where they can find this place of nothingness. And we're all impressed by that. See, that doesn't impress me. Now, you show me a woman. They can be married to a man and have kids and a career, loves her mother-in-law, makes the marriage work. You show me a guy who's got a wife and family and a job and people who are stabbing him in the back at work and trying to move him down and all the things that go on in everyday modern life, and show me a man walking in peace and joy, making relationships happen. Now I'm impressed. Now I want to know the secret. Amen? Because if you want to move to an island or join some kind of temple where you just are separated from the world, have at it. I love people too much. I actually want the excitement of it. I love big cities. I love the countryside. I love mountains. I love getting out with people. I love being, I just love all that life has. And I've discovered a secret that I'm not perfect at, but this is something that is every believer needs to understand, and every believer needs to be aware of. And so I'm going to present something to you today. We've talked about before, but I want to just dive into it in a really, not in a deeper way, I want to just pull it apart. And hopefully in the next number of weeks, and if I do not get and cover this enough, I want to encourage you to go to our YouTube channel, which is Leon Fontaine Official. Go to our Facebook, my Facebook page, Leon Fontaine, because I will, if I don't get a chance to do it here in front of you, I will put the second, third, fourth, and fifth messages carrying on from here will go there. In fact, I put a ton of more content than you will hear from me in this, in the services here, will be on those two places, YouTube, Leon Fontaine Official, and then Leon Fontaine Facebook. You will see a lot of content, and I will put more content on this topic. Salvation, or the born again experience, is a gift to unbelievers. If someone does not know Jesus Christ and they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, they believe on Him. They don't have to know everything about it. They don't have to have it all figured out. They don't even have to be completely sure about all this stuff. They literally just reach out, choose Him, and invite Him in. They start this journey of getting to know Him, and they become what Jesus called born again. Now, the word born again is a crazy term that the world mocks and the people who don't know it, but it's a very precious term to me, because Leon Fontaine was born 56 years ago. But when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, the old Leon Fontaine died. And a new Leon Fontaine was born that day. The new Leon Fontaine had none of the baggage, none of the curses, none of the history to be embarrassed of, none of the history to be ashamed of. This new Leon Fontaine was born again. So the gift to those who do not know Christ is salvation. But there is a gift to believers, to born-again people, that the world cannot have. And the Bible's very clear on this. And we'll get into some scripture in a minute, but I want to just kind of talk you through some of this stuff. And this gift is called the infilling of Holy Spirit. And that with this filling up of Holy Spirit, there is an evidence initially of speaking in an unknown tongue. And this speaking in an unknown tongue is very clear all through the book of Acts, all through the epistles. All of the disciples spoke in an unknown tongue. I'll explain what that is. All of the early church that you read through, all you can see spoke or prayed in an unknown tongue. This is a form of meditative connecting to God and being able to, this presence, the spirit, the joy, the peace, the power of God that is residing within your born-again spirit begins to, and the word in the Bible is, manifest itself in your everyday life. In other words, what is in your spirit, which can be so enjoyed and amazing, begins to come out into your world. In the Old Testament, there are seven kinds of miracles that the Old Testament had. Things like healings, gifts of miracles, like a parting of a body of water, the parting of the Red Sea. There would be things like a gift of faith where a person like Daniel could be thrown into a hungry lion's den and go to sleep and have such a high level of faith that it was a gift given to him. No one's got the kind of faith to go lay down with a whole bunch of hungry lions. And people say, well, they were probably fed. No, the Bible says that when the king felt sorry about what he had done and pulled Daniel out of the den and threw the evil politicians that got him there, they were torn to shreds before they even hit the ground. There were gifts like a word of knowledge where God would show somebody something they could never know except he showed them, like what valley an attack was coming against their city from, and they would go set up and be ready for it even before the enemy would leave. So there's about seven different types of miracles in the Old Testament that God's people, usually prophets, kings, etc., and priests would have access to. In the New Testament, there are nine. And the two that are missing in the Old Testament are, in according to the New Testament, are speaking in unknown tongues and the interpretation of unknown tongues. It has become a very hotly contested issue between some denominations and others. And so the thing that I want to share with you today is that in my life, I made a decision as a teenager to go forward. I began to recognize through the Bible that there was a gift that was for believers and that this gift would empower you. This gift would cause you to be able to live at a level of joy and peace and a level of power that Adam and Eve had in the garden before they sinned, where the presence of God was so beautiful, so encompassing that they could walk in this joy and peace all the time. We live in a world today that is exploding. I'm speaking to doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, and they are telling me that never have they seen such an explosion of emotional issues, behavioral issues, where people are struggling to, just normal people, are struggling to maintain a mind and an emotional life that others want to be a part of. Most people, not all, can maintain an okay single life. I mean, you can come when you want, go when you want, do what you want, where you want, when you want, how you want. But once you become married and you begin to share your life with another person with two different backgrounds, two different belief systems, two different heart images that have what a marriage looks like, what a family looks like, there begins to be tension. There begins to be a working out, manipulation, control. All this stuff has to be worked out between these two who want to share their lives together. And then you add children to the mix. You add a job, two jobs to the mix. You add rent and car, house ownership, paying for school, and you'll understand why. I was speaking with one of the leading men on the streets here in our city about the homeless and what we could do to get them off the streets and get them to be like people with jobs and careers. And his comment to me, his words were, oh, we will never be able to do that because the vast majority of the men and the women on the streets, he said, cannot mentally, emotionally handle the kind of life that includes a job, paying for your house, your car, your insurance, understanding, working with people, having a marriage. He said, there's something that has gone on. He didn't have answers. He just was stating that as I've worked with my entire life, he said, they opt out of all of the stress of figuring out your bills, your future, your finances, your career, your job, relationships, kids, their schools, and all the complexity that life seems to have today. We live in a time when, as never before, if there was something the early church had that kept them at a level of peace and strength, just emotionally, I want it. And if there was something that the early church had that had them access healing and the miracle power of God as seen in the Old Testament was as easy for all of them to work with in the New Testament from city to city and every day of their lives, then I want it. And so that was my introduction. And I have 5 minutes. Are you ready to jump in for a few minutes? In Isaiah chapter 28, number one to the CG operator, verses 11 to 12. It says this, prophetic of the time that we live in. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. I discovered a way as a Christian that to not just change my behavior physically or to change my line of thinking mentally. I discovered a way to not just memorize scripture and understand doctrine. I discovered a way to not just exert my body in working out or exerting my mind in meditation, memorization, etc. I found out that there is a way to exert your spirit. And that as the Holy Spirit, who is here inside of every believer, that this could keep you daily and completely and always in a refreshed mode. This refreshing was given to the New Testament Christian so that in the onslaught of this world, because we live in a world filled with junk, you don't get to just live at peace because of your own faith. You will marry somebody that you cannot control. You will have kids that eventually you cannot control. You'll have a mother-in-law, father-in-law, sisters, brothers, brother-in-law, sister-in-laws, people at work that you cannot control because you're not allowed to control another human being. So the very fact that we are on the planet and that we have to do business, we have to do marriage, we have to do this with other folks means that you will have to figure out how to stay refreshed in the midst of heartache and pain that is pushing at you through others, even though you yourself can walk in the principles of God, enjoying life. You will need a refreshing. You will need a spirit force, which is Holy Spirit. But it's one thing to say, I've got Holy Spirit on the inside of me, because the Bible teaches us that Jesus said in John chapters 14, 15, and 16 is where he talks about that I'm leaving, I'm going to heaven. He was going to go sit at the right hand of the Father, but he says, I'm going to send you Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he said, is going to lead you into all truth. He is going to show you things to come. You will have a peace, not a peace of the world. That means this is a peace that does not come from your affairs being in order. It does not come from everybody liking you, everybody patting your back, and everybody helping you up with your career. This is a peace that comes in the middle of storms when people are attacking you, coming against you. It is not a peace as the world gives, Jesus says. It is my peace. And so as a believer, I am trying to develop within you a hunger for something so amazing, so beautiful, so precious, and it is not something the world can have. I won't go there. Another time I might teach on this, but in my 40 years of preaching from behind the pulpit, I have discovered that there are so many people who want access to the spirit world but do not want Jesus as their Savior and Lord. According to the scripture, there is no ability for a human being to access or to successfully be able to navigate the spirit world unless they are born again and have the King of the spirit world, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. Once you do that, the Bible is an incredibly, not complex, but it is, that'll teach you everything about the spirit world, how it works, what kind of spirits there are in the spirit world, how you can keep some at bay, how you can walk in the power of God. And those who venture into the spirit world but do not have Jesus as their Savior and Lord anchored in His Word will always end up somewhere messed up. Because the enemy, there only are two spirit forces, the dark side, the light side, Jesus and Satan as a fallen person. So when they begin to mess with any form of, and you can go as simple as horoscopes. I have been involved in so many people that needed freedom, right from members of parliament in our country to people who are incredibly successful who began to mess into the spirit world, the dark arts, and did not want Jesus as Lord. And they were blown away when they saw and experienced the power of Jesus brought into the situation because I understood the lines of authority, I knew who I was, and I could access the presence of God which is within me and see it released into my life. So in John chapter 4 and verse 14, listen to Jesus talking. And he's talking to a lady and he says, "But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore." There is a thirst in every human being to know the presence of God, to know God, to know His love, His peace. And Jesus is comparing it to this woman to water. And he says that once you experience this and you have this water, you will never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him into and for eternal life. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, there is a joy that goes with salvation that you never need to look for outside of yourself, but this well that bubbles, this well that just refreshes, that this well that it's talking about is salvation. And it's comparing this beautiful first move of the Holy Spirit, because there are two motions, two movements of Holy Spirit. The first is salvation, where God comes in the person of Holy Spirit and He resides within us. And you can know this well of water springing up that is yours to drink from. This is not a well outside of you that you have to go to. This is not a person that you have to go to. This is a well. Your salvation is an ongoing, continuous well of peace and joy that you may drink from and enjoy the presence and the relationship that you have with Jesus. Now, just a few chapters later, Jesus is talking again about something else. Number 4, John 7, to CG, it's number 4, John 7, 38 to 39. "He that believes on me," okay? So now Jesus is saying, okay, he's got some limitations. Now, "he who believes on me," So you've got to believe on him first, which means he is Lord. He is my Savior. Invite him in. He that believes on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, I need a lot of scripture, but let me just show you how to follow this. And there's a big difference between a well and rivers, plural. You know, I grew up for a part of my life in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and they have brutal floods when the ice breaks up in the spring. And if you go down to places like Selkirk, just downriver, you will see outhouses, boats, buildings floating down sometimes. You will see ice that will go up the trees on the banks up to 12, 15 feet up as the power of this river just pushes this pack ice up right onto the shore. It's stunning. We've got pictures from when I was just a young boy of this ice when it began to break and the power of this river. And the Bible says that it compares this flow that comes out of a person to rivers, plural. Not one river, but rivers. And so Jesus here is talking about something else than salvation, which he compares to a well that you can enjoy. He's talking about rivers, which are to be able to minister to the people around you and to deal with situations outside of us in this world. So when we talk about in the New Testament, when we talk about salvation, that is a work of Holy Spirit. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit lives within you. He is there. But Jesus told his disciples, don't you dare go out and preach and teach. You cannot go from city to city. I don't want you getting on ships. I don't want you going anywhere. You stay here until, he says, you are filled with Holy Spirit. They waited the day of Pentecost. We'll get into this and talk about this. Then it says, and they were all filled. This is the same Holy Spirit. The first thing he did was to save them and give them the born-again experience. The second thing he did was to do a work with them that fills them up. I can have a drink of water, and that's H2O. Or you can fill me up with water, and it's H2O. And the same is how I see Holy Spirit. When you get into Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16 and on, it talks there to the believer that you need to be being filled. Now, this in the Hebrew, or in the Greek, is saying that if a believer wants to walk in a joy where your heart just sings, if the believer wants to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and its miracles flowing on a regular basis in your life, there is an experience, and this experience is to reach out to him and ask him to fill you with his Spirit. And the Bible says that the initial evidence is this ability to pray in a language that you do not know. And that as Paul says, I speak in this unknown tongue more than anyone. I found in my life, and my time is so past, that this beautiful gift to the believer, I do this daily. I have done this almost all my life. I have found that whenever I begin to walk into situations that I knew I would need God's help, I was being called to a hospital, I was being called to a situation, that if I spent time just refreshing myself in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, focusing on God, that is when I saw most miracles take place. And so I begin to learn to practice this daily, this refreshing, this ability to stay in peace when it is hitting the fan everywhere you go, this ability that no one else can touch because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he knew, okay, that you would need an ability. You can release what's in your body by working out. You can exert your body. Again, let me say this. You can learn to exert your mind. I like it when people exert their mind and they're intelligent about how they work, how they drive, how they deal with people. I like it when people learn to exert their mind. But nobody has learned how to exert their spirit. Anything the world calls spiritual has just got to do with the mind and the body connection. But for a born-again believer, there's a beautiful, incredibly powerful, yet never not harmful way to live in this incredible refreshing. Jesus came to the planet as a human being. He gave up all his power as God. And the Bible says he did no miracles until he was filled with the Spirit. Then he began to walk amongst the towns and the cities. They tried to kill him. They couldn't touch him. If the demon possessed came to him, they were easily set free. If he had situations where a person was attacking them, trying to kill them, like the demoniac in the cemetery that had literally broken chains and scared everybody in the town away because he was so crazy, and instantly was set free and had his mind. When you study Jesus, and then you study the apostles, the disciples in the early church, and you see their ability to go from city to city and to see this miraculous move of God as people were added to the church, you'll see continually, and we'll unpack that in another service, continually it will say about these men and women, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And multiple times you will see they got filled on the day of Pentecost, then they were filled again when they prayed in Acts chapter 4, then they were filled again. They maintained a Spirit-filled life that I find absent from most of the places I teach around the world today. And when a believer recognizes this is not something you just go out and walk around town and do, this is not, you don't find a guy, sitting, another religion, sitting in the midst of the busiest intersection downtown trying to meditate. And likewise, in our relationship with Jesus, it says, don't cast your pearls before swine. And so things that I have learned to practice and maintain in my life, I have learned that it is for my quiet time between me and God. But that is where I have learned to get the refreshing that is great for me. And because I have family and homes, and in my case, I'm a pastor over thousands of people, but everywhere you go, Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you and help you to know what to say and what to do in a way that is so foreign to you being intelligent enough to handle all these situations when people are filled with His presence and have learned to practice His presence, have learned to stay filled with His Spirit. Everywhere you go is this incredible ability to know what to do, what to say, how to act. And then there's God's power besides your own ability that is always His supernatural on your natural. All right, I'm up, and this was my introduction. I hope and I pray that if you've never heard of this, just be at peace. If you come from this and you were so turned off by it, you be at peace. Because it's not what you think, but I'm telling you that you will not be able to live the kind of life the Bible teaches unless you do it the Bible way. I have found that when I say, I'll use this part of the Bible, but I'm going to just rip. I don't like that part. So we'll just, God, you can, there you go. You can have that back. I'll just take, this is how believers use the Bible. There's things they don't understand. So, I just don't want to go there. I don't quite understand, and I feel a little bit foolish. The world is so foolish, they'll write their team on their bare belly and jump and scream when a rubber puck hits the net. The world is so crazy, they believe in aliens seeding the planet. The stuff that goes on in our world today, in every person's consciousness, and Christians are going to be embarrassed that to know God and to pray, that there's a prayer language. And this prayer language not only does stuff for you, but when you don't know how to pray, Romans 8 says, that Holy Spirit can pray and help you in your prayer and direct it at places you don't even know is going on. This is the most incredible thing. And I'm going to challenge you. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then embrace the whole truth, not just the little pieces that work for you, and learn to walk in a place that God has prepared for you, a life that is so filled with His joy. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and more abundantly in every area. Father, I pray that you would just touch people today in a very special way, that there would be a hunger upon them to seek this out and to experience this beautiful infilling of your Spirit. For those who have, I pray that they would recognize its power and move back to spending time with you in this prayer and praying in the Spirit. Father, I ask you to touch each of them now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now. I just sense there are those here right now that are so overwhelmed. They don't know what they're going to do. They've done things in their own strength and in their own wisdom. Father, I pray that they would literally just say, I'm sorry, God, and guide me and lead me to walk in your love and your peace. I pray that even now, after I've taught on this, Father, the peace of God that passes all understanding will touch people in this service today. I pray for those who, Father, don't know if they can even make it through this week. I speak life into them and peace into them. That, Father, this peace, this joy would touch them right now. I pray that you would heal them, Father, emotionally. Heal their physical body. And, Father, I pray that they would pursue you, not just some answer they have to have to their prayers and then forget about you. But they would genuinely want a relationship with you. And I pray that today's message, Father, is going to change the direction of their life forever. In Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen and amen.